Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm having a terrible time getting this going today. So here we go. I finally was able to get in. I have been trying to get into my switchboard now for about 15 minutes. I'm so excited. It's opening up, and I can see we have our guest here today. Oh, yay, I'm very happy. Okay. I'm so excited that this is going to work. And I am going to go ahead and go back, and we are going to take just a breath here while I get going, and we're going to do a little intro, and then we're going to get started with our interview with Lisa. Thank you for joining us. I'll be right back. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Well, hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and phew, I feel a lot better now that we are connected and we're here and our guest is here, and I'm so excited that you are here today. So thank you for joining us for Marnie's Friends today. And we have a very special guest today. I'm so excited to introduce you to Lisa Voorhees, who is a national vice president with a major U.S. cosmetics company, Erbonne. And she, along with her husband, Pastor Barry Voorhees, have been in ministry for 24 years. They have two children, Kristen, 21, and Kent, 18. And Lisa has been a women's ministry leader for 15 years. She speaks nationally to thousands of women annually, and it is her passion to help each woman enlarge her dreams, do her part faithfully, and then watch for God to do his. Robin Burgess, who is the president of Intelligent Therapy, says, Lisa Voorhees is one of the most dynamic and motivational people that I have ever known. Thank you for being here today, and welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Marnie. It's my pleasure. I've been just sitting here in the silence, just praying that the Lord would use me and wondering if I was on the right number.
Just... I bet you were, because I said, okay, call in early so we can have a little chat beforehand, and I don't show up. But I tell you, I don't know what's been going on. The last few days, it could just be at our end here, the last few days, our internet service in town here has been just awful. And so it could have been at our end, or it could have been at Blog Talk Radio. But anyway, here we are. So I'm so excited about that. And I just want to encourage you, in everything that I do, and I know, Lisa, too, your life is very much on candid camera for people to see a lot. And one of the things that I always like to do is, as we're living, just to kind of talk it through. And I just have to be honest with you that while this wasn't working, while it wasn't connecting, while I couldn't get through and tell you, I'll be there in a minute, because I didn't even know if I would be, you know, panic begins to rise, and you can't do anything about the emotions that come. But what we can do is just like what you just mentioned. We just pray. We just go, okay, God. And I just even said out loud, I was sitting here in front of a blank screen, and I just said out loud, okay, God, I'm just doing this for you. So if you don't want the show today, that's fine. And I think that that's where we always have to come back to. And I know that you can relate to that.
I sure can. And I have a lot of things on the burners, if you will, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just always just try to line up with God's agenda and his plans and purposes. And then all the pressure is off me. I can remember being asked to speak at our national convention, and I had with Arbonne, and I had been asked to speak at smaller groups, but never like 5 or 6 or 10,000 people at one time. And I was really nervous about it, and to the point of not enjoying it. And I had realized that my priorities had gotten just completely out of whack. And my agenda at that point was really to not be embarrassed or to do a good job or for people to be impressed with me. And that was all not, God was not in any of those agendas. His agenda was really that I would be a blessing to people. And so that is what I lined up with. And it just melted away all of the nerves and all of the what ifs. And it just lined my heart up with his and my goal up with his. And then this success of being asked to speak to such a large group of people became a blessing to me. instead of a burden. So that's really just my heart even today as I'm speaking to folks on the line, whether it's that you're building your women's ministry or you're succeeding in business or just, you know, whatever your goal might be, to really just take the pressure off yourself and just say, Lord, I'm just your vessel and you want to accomplish something through me today. So I'm just going to do my part and I'm going to let you do yours.
Absolutely. And there is so much peace in that, isn't there? No matter how many, you know, I too, like you, and I'm sure that the majority of women listening to us can relate to this. We juggle a lot of balls. And I always say, you know, if I am the only one here, I'm just going to gently put them all on the ground right now before everything breaks. But because God is here with us, and it is his power, and it is his plan, then there's just so much joy in continuing to juggle balls, and they're his. And if he wants to pull a ball out of, you know, you watch these guys that juggle professionally, they'll all of a sudden just one ball will disappear, or one ball will appear into the act. And it's just they're okay with it because that's the act. And we get kind of concerned about that, you know, oh, should I lay that ball down right now? And it's like God saying, yes, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. And we're like, oh, but it's been in my life a long time. I have a hard time to do that. Or here, we're going to add this one in here. And it's like, well, there's no room. I just barely learned how to juggle these balls. And so it's so fun when we let Jesus do it. What a great way to start, to just put that illustration that you just used is so wonderful, because one of the number one things, inquiries we've gotten through the years is, I feel like God is calling me to do thus and such, start a ministry, go into speaking, whatever, and I just am not sure if that's what he wants me to do. And it all really always comes back down to that one thing, you know, audience of one, God, what do you want me to do? What are you going to empower me to do, and how can I go forward with that? Lisa, you have been in ministry for a long time, but that isn't where you started. You didn't come to Christ really until you were an adult.
That's true. I'll tell you a little story. It's kind of interesting. I know girlfriends love stories. So I'll share it with you girlfriends on the radio this morning. My husband and I met at Opryland. We were singers. I had been Miss Maryland in the Miss America pageant and had an unhealthy relationship with a boyfriend, and I was needing to just kind of get out of town and clear my head. So I auditioned for Opryland, and I was too late to go to college anyway because of the pageant. So I moved to Tennessee and started working at Opryland in one of the shows, and I was a Catholic, but almost as if it was a race, like you're born Catholic. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, and I believe that I did trust the Lord for my salvation, believed in him as the Son of God and my way to heaven, but I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at the time. In fact, I was really worldly. I was living that worldly high life of being around just drugs and money and everything, and it was just not good. I was not on a good path, but I left town and I auditioned for Opryland and went to work there, and I was doing a special show for them, and they had hired singers to sit in the orchestra pit and double our voices because we were moving around so much. And one of the singers was just this so nice guy, just such a nice guy, and so opposite of this harmful relationship I'd been in. And something about him just attracted me to him, but I couldn't figure out what it was because he was, in my book at the time, such a nerd and such a, you know, just dressed flashy and didn't party, and I was just drawn to him, though, and we began dating and were married in 6 months. We eloped to Bowling Green,
wow,
Kentucky, which, yeah, was just shocking to everyone, and but I would go out with him, and we would have such a great time without drinking or doing any of the things that I had been used to doing, and he just was so just warm and loving and no agenda and just such a nice guy. Anyway, he sang in Country Music USA at Opryland. We got married, and I eventually went ahead that year and began working in the cosmetics department, and he opened a recording studio in our home, and I met a born-again believer, a sweet friend of mine, Cindy Larson, at my cosmetics department. She had come off the road as a traveling evangelist with her family and got married and went to work in cosmetics, and she began to just share with me her love for the Lord. She lived it out in her life, and it was just such a, she talked to God, and like I'd never experienced that before, that you know, she would pray and it was actually meaningful and she knew about the Bible. And I just was so drawn to that. And it would be so lonely there at night with one or two friends all night. We'd just talk about the Lord. And I would come home and tell my husband this. And we hadn't even mentioned religion and or Christianity or anything. And he would just be like, oh, yeah, I know. And I would be thinking, what does he mean he knows? And so I actually accepted Christ as my personal Savior and just began going to church with her. And I would invite him to church. And it was just kind of funny. But he began having health issues, like huge health issues. Like he was a sound engineer and a studio singer, and he was getting really dizzy and nauseous. And the doctors at Vanderbilt told him he was losing his hearing. And then within another 2 months, he was flat on his back, could not move without yelling. I called the ambulance. They came and got him, took him to Bandy, and they sat us down and said that he had a degenerative back disorder, and he would be not able to stand up straight, basically getting bent over lower and lower as he over the next few years. So in one probably 90-day span, he was told he was going to lose his hearing, basically not be able to sing or hear, and not be able to walk upright. And in that hospital bed at Vanderbilt University, he said to me, I committed my life to Christ and the ministry when I was 16 years old, and I have tried to take it back from God, and I have reneged on my promise to him. And he has told me through circumstances that he's holding me to what I promised and that I'm going down the wrong path. I'm a minister, Lisa. My degree is in religion and church music. And I am compelled by God to be obedient. And he could have said, I'm a secret agent with the case.
How long have you guys been married at that point?
Over a year, but a little over a year.
1 year. And, okay, so and no mention of God, and here he had a degree.
No, yes, I had, yeah, exactly. And it was just so surreal. And of course, I was a brand new believer, not ever even been baptized. And I was baptized at the first church we served at. And on the way to that church, I said to him, you haven't even practiced your songs. What are you going to even sing? And he said, I know all the songs. I've been doing this my whole life. And I'm just back home again. And he got up in front of the congregation, and it was like I was seeing him for the very first time. And it just testifies to the providence of God. And just even when I had nothing to do with the Lord, he had everything to do with me.
Wow, that is quite a story. Well, if you are just joining us right now, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm visiting today with our guest, Lisa Voorhees, who is a pastor's wife. But it didn't start that way. She married somebody who never once mentioned God to her or his relationship with God at all before they got married, just 6 months after meeting each other. And it was about a year later that she found out that he had been running from God, but by that time, God had already won her heart. We are going to take a short break and come right back and talk a little bit about women's ministry. And Lisa, you've been working in a women's ministry for 15 years, and we want to pick your brain about that. And you hang in here with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through his power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at marnie.com. Have a great day.
Well, hi, this is Marnie Swedberg back with our guest today, Lisa Voorhees, who is a VP for Arbonne International, which is a cosmetics company. She is also a pastor's wife, and she has been involved in women's ministry for 15 years. And during this segment, we are going to talk a little bit about her women's ministry, and then we're going to come back in the next section and talk about the four P's. And so, Lisa, right now, why don't you first of all tell us about your church?
Okay, well, my husband and I are on our second church plant. My husband pastors Life, L-I-F-E, House Fellowship Church. It's a non-denominational church with Southern Baptist roots. And our second church plant. The first church we planted was 12 years ago, and it was a community church type of format as well, and we actually were affiliated with Southern Baptist at that time, and so we have that kind of background, if you will. We ministers, we're kind of the old folks of the group at our church. I'm 47 and my husband's 51, and he's so uncool that he's actually cool. And we found young people that come to our church, and we play music there that is not necessarily my favorite style. We do offer some earplugs for those of us who are like myself, but we have lots and lots of young people engaging, and the Lord just was like, you know what, if you want to listen to whatever kind of music to worship me at your home or in your car, that's fine, but I need you to focus on the lost right now and just what they can hear and how they can hear it. And so our church is focused on like millennial generation and just really how they can hear and kind of trying to speak their language, because what we were finding is that it was almost like we were Charlie Brown's teacher, like wah, 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 wah. We were talking and talking, but they weren't hearing.
Yeah.
And so we kind of thought, well, if we went to Africa, we'd either get a translator or we'd learn how to speak the language. We wouldn't expect them to learn how to speak ours to hear the gospel. So basically, that's the kind of church we have. We are very firmly rooted in Christian fundamentals, and we never, ever change the message, not even a little bit. But you know what? Kids today don't want you to change the message. They want a high bar. They want someone to say that far and no farther, that you are fully loved, but there are boundaries for your good. So many kids today have been raised either in homes that have been so permissive that parents are afraid to parent, and they're begging for some boundaries. And they find that in the Word of God. If you can just show it to them in a way that they can hear it, they grab a hold of those boundaries, and it gives them the security that possibly they didn't have being in their homes, and they certainly don't see it in the world around them. And so what we find is they are fine with the high bar of morality and holiness and virtuous living. They're not fine with anything that smacks of hypocriticalness, or you say one thing but do another kind of thing, or doing something just because you've always done it that way. But they are so into the Lord Jesus. They are so into the message of the gospel.
Where is your church located?
We are right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, in Bolton, Tennessee, and we're at the northwest tip of Davidson County, and it's not a highly populated county at all, but we do draw from about three or four surrounding counties. We'll run about 300 people on Sunday morning. We've been in existence a little under 2 years, I think it is.
Wow.
We actually meet, the Lord provided us with a skating rink and a bowling alley, and so we have 24,000 square feet. It's crazy.
Wow.
And we actually will open our whole facility for free skating and bowling sometimes, and that's one of our major outreach methods.
Cool. I love how creative God is. Now, when you have, okay, so you have 300 people sometimes on Sunday mornings, and your church is just 2 years old. Let's talk about your women's ministry. What does that look like? Because you've already told us you have a strongly youth-oriented church.
Right. There's a lot of 20-somethings and a lot of early 30s. So we have a lot of young families, and we have a lot of teenagers. So, for instance, we have our one-day retreat coming up. What we were finding is that young families, moms, don't have time and they don't have money. And we were thinking of things in terms of where I was as a leader. I have disposable income because my kids are older, and I have time because they take care of themselves. So I was thinking of things in terms of my schedule, and I really needed to get outside of what I needed and focus more on what the average woman at my church needed. And so young moms, they don't have a lot of money to spend on themselves, and they don't have a lot of time. So we had been taking a retreat where we would go away to a retreat center, and that cost money. And so I was noticing that people were not coming who were normally engaged in things. And when I asked them about it, it was because they didn't have the money. And we offered some scholarships, but it just wasn't quite enough. So we looked, hey, we've got this really awesome facility. What if we just decorated it really beautifully and we did a one-day retreat And then the dads or whatever could get childcare for one day. So that's what we do now. We're doing a one-day retreat, and we're calling it Falling in Love with Jesus. And one whole section, basically, we purposely invite the students of our church to join us, the young women of our church. And we say from up front, it will not be the same without you. We want you there with us. It will not be the same without you. You will be missed. You'll be missing if you don't come. And we have a lot of stuff planned just for you. And during our women's retreat, our students will be with the whole group for a lot of the time. And then we'll have some breakout sessions that are just for them. And those will be breakout sessions where we've decorated a room. Actually, we're putting up a tent in our parking lot. And they'll be out there. It'll be that special. It'll say to them, you're special. You're special to us. And it'll be a whole section on purity and living a pure life before God and just falling in love with Jesus and letting him be your love interest.
That's just great. Now, get real nitty-gritty for us for just a moment here. What does the day actually look like? What time do you start? What do you do?
Okay, we open our doors at 8 for breakfast and meet and greet. Our actual service will start at 9. We have lots of talented people in our church. We have creative services, so we tend to creative people are sort of magnetized to our church because that's how they worship in creative ways. So we'll have drama and sign ministry participating and worship dance. And so we have even at our women's retreat, it'll be a very creative service. So at 9 o'clock, we start with worship and we'll have a live band, and women will lead worship, but we'll have some guys playing, and we'll do about 20 minutes of just upbeat worship. And don't be afraid, but at that time, remember, we meet in a skating rink. At that time, our worship leader may say, at the beginning of the service, she may say, hey, everybody, up on your feet, and Macarena music will start playing.
Oh.
Or the Cupid Shuffle, and everyone will do the Cupid Shuffle.
Oh.
Just to get up and going and ready for the day and to set the this is going to be fun, and we're going to focus on God. Our last retreat, we did the Macarena, but this retreat, we'll probably do the Cupid Shuffle. Then we'll have everybody just loving on the Lord, and we'll go into worship all pumped up and awake, and then we'll have some teaching time, about 45 minutes to an hour of teaching. Then late morning, we'll break into our breakout sessions, and in the breakout sessions, we bring up ladies in the church that we want to mentor into leadership or teaching. So this is a small commitment in front of a smaller group. It's a 1 hour and 15-minute breakout session. And we're able to work closely with ladies who said to us, we'd like some teaching opportunities. And it's a way that we can insert them instead of into a big session, just that smaller, just mentor them along in that. And those sessions will be loving Jesus by loving your family, loving Jesus by loving his word, loving Jesus by staying pure, which is our student breakout, and loving Jesus through your ministry. And have women in the church who teach those, and that's another way that we learn to know each other and to get to know each other. So, and those are more practical, like loving Jesus by loving your family. She'll actually talk about how to love your family well in practical ways. And so then we break for lunch, and the whole day is free. Let me just say that. The Lord said, I don't want you to charge at all, and I'll provide the. And so we actually just have some women who their gift is cooking. They love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make the food. And so we bring in we have a tiny little budget from the church because, remember, our church is young and you're not a big, rich demographically church, financially church. So we have a tiny little budget. We can do breakfast, but lunch is actually just donated. And so it's completely free for anyone who wants to come. And so this gives us no barriers. And so basically then after lunch, we do more worship, kind of centering everybody back in. And then the bulk of our teaching happens after lunch. We close with communion and with really just challenging the women at the retreat to do business with God and really ask God to plant in their hearts the word, not just have them hear it and then be unchanged, but have him actually plant in their heart right now, practically show me what this means in my life, and just really some time for them to just to do business with God about what they heard and what they specifically are supposed to focus on and take away from the day. And we end up at about 4 o'clock, so everybody's home in time for dinner.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the notes of both of it, because it's so helpful to hear what other groups are doing. And we all come to women's ministry, most of us come to women's ministry with an idea of how we've done it in the past, and it does help to just hear what somebody else is doing and what that looks like. So how far do you guys have people pre-register, or do they just show up at the door?
We have them sign up. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. We've been signing up for about 6 weeks, and we'll expect about 150 women, because people will come from other areas. And for us, that's a good crowd.
Yeah. Oh, right. Half of your church. The size of your church. And do you, besides mentioning it to them at church, do you do any kind of other promotion for it?
Basically, you know, in the business world, there's a statistic that says if a woman is positive about something, if she's had a positive experience or feels in a positive way about something, she'll tell at least 25 other women about it. That's a national business statistic.
Yep.
And so we found that word of mouth, we provide our ladies with invitations, and it's their job to invite.
Yeah.
And that seems to be best. We don't have enough money to saturate a community with advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you trust your friend, and people know people with needs. And if it's a thing that's free just for them to come and be blessed, we don't care. You know, we have a very diverse group anyway in our church. But we'll have women who are senior adults who've lost their husbands, to women who've just gotten married and have their first baby. So it's just, and then we have our students with us too. So it's a wide array, and no one feels pressured to get up and do the Macarena or the Cupid Shuffle, but you would be so shocked at our grannies who get up and have the younger people shown them how to do the dance. It's just really awesome. Our students learned it at their youth camp, and they taught our kids at our VBS, and so it's just a thing that they've connected with. It's been like good, clean fun, and it's really kind of bridged the generation.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we see with our visitors, is that they go, wow, this is really a lot of fun. And a lot of times they're shocked that
right.
We laugh a lot, we love the Lord, we love each other, and it's just that kind of atmosphere that we're trying to support. A lot of unsaved people or people just in the world, in your community, feel that they're going to be judged at church, and that church has been negative for them, and it's been boring. And Jesus is none of those things. So somehow we've messed up our message and just in the way we've communicated Christ to people as believers. You know, Jesus loves you unconditionally. And so we should, as believers, be able to communicate that to our communities. And so that's what we seek to do, not to be irreverent, but just to be warm and to be a regular person who's not this, you know, judgmental thing that the world is viewing us as.
Right, right. In your note to me earlier, you said about your women's ministry, you said, we minister to hurting, overworked, stressed out, guilt women ridden women. And it's our job to show them that we love and accept them, and so does God. It's just beautiful. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. I'm visiting with Lisa Verheis today, our guest, and she is a pastor's wife, a women's ministry leader, a vice president of Airbond International. She's also a former Miss Maryland, and we are going to come right back after break and talk about the 4 P's of the power-filled woman and how it relates to her women's ministry. We will be right back.
Okay, ladies, who in your circle of friends would be an awesome speaker for local church women's teas, scrapbooking retreats, and stuff like that? We all have friends who are great speakers, but hardly anyone knows they exist. Right now, send a message to your speaker friend and encourage her to register at womenspeakers.com, the largest online Christian women's speakers directory in the world. There are free and paid listings available, and you know what? Your friend is going to love you for telling her about womenspeakers.com.
This is Marnie Swedberg, back with our guest today, Lisa Verheis. And if you're just joining us, welcome to you. And if you haven't gone over and checked out womenspeakers.com, Lisa's one of our speakers over there, as well as there's over 1,000 women speakers listed at womenspeakers.com. It is a Christian women speakers directory, and so in order to register, you have to be a Christian. You have to have a presentation ready to go and share. And if you go there, there's a map, and you can find speakers right near your home church, your location. And if you have a smaller budget or no budget at all, or you can't afford to fly somebody in, or you just need someone for a mother-daughter tea and you want to do somebody locally, that is a great place to start. And also, if you have a bigger event coming up and you'd like to bring in a speaker, there's so many gals that are on every level of the speaking experience spectrum, all the way from those gals who are just started and they say, boy, I only want to speak to local MOPS groups or stuff like that, all the way to gals who have numerous books written and are really willing to travel to you from wherever they are to wherever you are and to bring the Word of God to you in a very professional and polished way while letting the Spirit lead them. Lisa, when we come back to you, tell us a little bit, before we get into the four P's of the Power-Filled Woman, tell us a little bit about what you do with Airbon.
Well, I'm actually, I've been with them for 12 years. It's a 29-year-old company, and it is network marketing, direct sales, so I don't actually work for them. I'm an independent consultant. And when my husband came to me, he's had many surprising revelations he's given me, but one of them was we had just gotten a $12,000 a year raise at our church. He was a minister of music in a large Southern Baptist church, and I worked for a cosmetics company. I actually was employed by Adrian Artel Cosmetics, and I kept having to travel more and more and more, and I basically had take over a Oklahoma City territory for a gal who had a drug problem. They couldn't fire her because she had been diagnosed as disabled, but it was actually that she was drug dependent, and so I had to take over her territory, and I just felt like my kids were going to be disabled if I kept having to go all over the country, and you know, just really more and more responsibility meant less and less time at home. And so I shared with him that I felt like I was being led to quit my job. At the same time, he shared with me that even after they had given us this giant raise and our ministries were like all sort of running themselves now, and our job was actually, his job was actually getting to be a little bit easy, that God had told him that he was going to plant one of these purpose-driven churches, that he had just been to a purpose-driven church conference here in Nashville given by Rick Warren. I mean, 10 years before he ever wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote The Purpose Church. And I was like, I don't think that's what God's telling you. See, all of these things over here, these $12,000 more a year, our ministries are just now getting easier. See, these would lead me to believe that God wants us to be right where we are. And my kids were all so happy at our Southern Baptist church that we were at, and they all had their good friends there. And he was really messing with my nest. You know, I had all nest. My nest was all done. And at the same time, God was telling me to quit my job. So basically, I checked out some other things I could do, and I started, I opened a dance studio. That, having been a dancer at Opryland, that I felt was the only other thing I knew how to do. And after being in that a while, my kids would get home at 3:30, I'd leave at 4:00 for the dance studio, and then I was there all day Saturday. And I said, God, you told me to quit my job, but this dance studio thing is so much worse. And I just felt like he said, look, I told you to quit your job, but I never said anything about a dance studio.
I hate that when I do that.
Written. Anyway, so I was building an Arbonne business, and I was really stuck up about any kind of direct sales or whatever because I'd been a sales rep. I was miserable in my corporate job, but I had some pride attached to it. And so I just got tired of my pride, and she seemed to be really happy doing what she was doing, so I gave it a try, and I'm basically blessed to be one of the top 30 people in the world in Arbonne, and the Lord has just grown my team, and I don't for one second think it was anything that I did, except that I prayed hard, and I worked hard, and the Lord just provided for us. My husband is able to not take a salary at our church, which is good, because we have a lot of, you know, young people, as I shared earlier, and it's been because the Lord's just provided for us in a different way. It's not that I think pastors shouldn't be paid. That's not it at all. But this is just where God has us right now. And he's just chosen to provide in a little different way for our family. So what I do is encourage mostly women. My business is about, my team is about 98% women, to just dream big and think big and step out and be able to face their fear of failure or inadequacy. And I believe really that my business is a cosmetics company, and that's just a disguise for a personal development company. and that's really what it is. I mean, you know, our products are great and I love them, but for the most part, I feel like I'm kind of like John Maxwell and that I add value to people. And that's really what God's called me to do, to just be an exhorter. And I'm able to reach so many more people than I'd ever be able to reach as Lisa, you know, the pastor's wife from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I just always stay grounded in that it was the Lord that brought me here, and the Lord built the house, and I'll be doing this as long as he wants me to. But it enables me to do some things that I wouldn't normally be able to do, like, you know, speak for churches just with whatever they can afford to pay it. I don't have to require a certain fee because it's not how the Lord provides for us financially. My primary vision is through our bond.
Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. Well, I'm excited to get to the four P's of the power-filled woman. And the first one is my favorite one, but I like them all. But the first one is prayer. So, and you say, work hard, pray harder. I love that.
Yeah, I've heard it said, work like it's all up to you, but pray like it's all up to God. And I don't believe in, you know, just praying and not taking action, because, you know, everything in this world, on this earth, you know, we want to do everything as unto the Lord. And so I'm going to do what God shows me to do. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to trust him to do his. I love, and I say it often, he's going to add his super to my natural. Mm. And I'm going to do what he shows me to do in the natural, and then he's going to add his supernatural to it. And when I'm prayed up, things just sort of bounce off me. Occurrences during the day, things that would normally bug me or cause me to fear. If I have jumped right into my day and I haven't really spent time just getting with God, then everything is a bigger deal than it actually is. And it becomes Lisa's size, you know, instead of God's size. And it helps me a lot to explain to people too on my team, if you've prayed about your business and you're faithful to do what God shows you to do, then it's going just the way he wants it to go. And you can rest in that. I don't have to have this scarcity mentality of there's not enough food, not enough time, not enough. Nope. I can just pray, give my worries to the Lord, and then he is going to comfort me and carry me. One of my favorite verses is, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Isaiah 46:4. Even from today until I've got gray hair, he is the one who will sustain me. And as long as I'm just faithful to do what he shows me to do, and to just stay hooked up in prayer, just totally lining up with his purposes, lining my heart up with his, I'm going to be able to just walk out my life as, and go from blessing to blessing instead of challenge to challenge. And it orders everything in my mind when I just bathe everything in prayer, and it gives me the peace to actually function with all the power that I could function with. And let me give you an example of that. Just when I was supposed to speak at our national training conference, because I lined up with God, I prayed about it, and actually there were several national vice presidents who were speaking who were believers. We sat down at a table in that empty facility, and we just prayed. We prayed, Lord, you know, help us to be a blessing to these people. Well, then I was given the peace, you see, to do my best. When we're all nervous and anxious, and we are, our priorities are out of whack, when we haven't lined our hearts up with God, then that anxiety takes over and shuts us down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you are a listener and you're like, well, I pray, but I don't seem to be able to pray like what she's talking about, If you go over to Marnie.com and go to the books there, the written works, there's a book. It's free. It's called Recession PMA, Prayers, Meditations, and Affirmations. And what it is it's really not limited to the recession, but it's prayers, meditations, and affirmations that I've used personally, and they're all based on Scripture, on the Bible, which is God's Word. So really, like an employee applying for a job and using the same words that the HR manager put in the advertisement, we pray back to God his own words, and there's so much power in that. First of all, because we know I'm aligning myself with what he already said is true, what he said he's going to do. And also, because it just shows God that we are serious about communicating with him his way, with his own words. So anybody, if you don't know how to pray and you're like, I would like to pray more powerfully, I would like to feel that kind of peace after I pray, just go over to Marnie.com, go on ebooks, and just click on the Recession PMA and get that. Their prayer is just so, it's so powerful, and it's so easy because you don't have to buy anything. Jesus already did that. You don't have to be in any certain position. You can do it when you're in a crowd, when you're by yourself. You can do it when you're happy, when you're sad. Prayer is just such an amazing, amazing gift. But the second priority you have here, or second P, is priorities. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, let me just give an example of priorities run amok. My husband, before he became a pastor, was a minister of music and senior adults, and we had just moved into a new home, and he had decided that our home would be a mystery destination for the senior citizens group. And I drove myself crazy cleaning that house because I thought, now all these folks have kept a neat house their whole life. I had built it up in my head that, you know, my house had to be just so, and the cooking had to be just so, and I drove my family insane for probably about 3 days. And after all of the folks left, they couldn't have been nicer, more complimentary. I mean, just they loved us to pieces. It had nothing to do with them. It was all me. My husband came to me and he said, hey, let's just not have any more company over ever. The family just can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. And, you know, I had my priorities all messed up. I was trying to be a blessing to those folks and just loving on them. No, it was all about me. It had become all about me and my house and my decor and my food and my recipes, and really just prioritizing and lining my heart up with God. That's so important, getting on God's page. The other thing is that I had to learn, as a pastor's wife and someone running a multi-million-dollar business, and I also homeschooled my kids as I was building my business, I had a lot of expectations put on me that were not God's expectations. And really, that's maturity and learning to discern between the expectations of the world, the expectations of your friends maybe, and really what God's expectations are. And I sorted it out by saying, you know, God's given me ministry first to my husband, because really I mentioned, women are mentioned in the Word first as being a helpmate to our husbands. So I know that my first ministry is to my husband, then to my children, then really to my church, and then to my business. So I ordered those priorities. And if only I can be a wife to my husband, only I can be a mom to my kids. Other people may be able to be on the nursery duty at church, or some other thing that I'm doing at church. And I really just pray over every responsibility I took on to make sure that it was really God's agenda for me and not someone else's expectation. As my business, as it began to grow and explode, I have thousands of people on my Arbon team, and they have expectations of me. So I just, in love, set boundaries, and I really pray about my calendar and what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And it's a pleasure to spend this hour with you today, Marnie, and I really, really appreciate you asking me. But I prayed over it, and the Lord said yes to it. So mm-hmm. I carved out the time to do it. And when I homeschooled, I had to set priorities. We homeschooled from 8 to 12, and I didn't take calls from 8 to 12. I didn't answer emails from 8 to 12. That was homeschooling time. So you have to prioritize. Start with doing what only you can do, and getting with God about what things need to go on your calendar and what things need to stay, and really get yourself out of the equation. Not how it reflects on you or what people are expecting of you, but rather seeking to please the Lord above all things, and that will help a lot with your stress level, and it will also enable you to operate in power through the Holy Spirit in the areas God's given you as your ministry.
Right, right. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm visiting today with our guest, Lisa Voorhees, who's Arbonne International VP. She is a pastor's wife. She's a women's ministry leader, and she's a women's speaker. And we are going to come right back for the final two P's of the Power-Filled Woman, as well as a few other things. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
This is Marnie Swedberg, and I thank you for being here with us today. This radio show wouldn't be anything without the listeners. It wouldn't be anything without the guests. And I was so excited today to have Lisa here with us. And just before break, she was talking about priorities and how, you know, she said, Lisa, you said you were excited to be here today, but you had prayed about it. And it is so important. And sometimes we just think, oh, well, obviously I have to do that. But sometimes it comes to a point where you have two things that you absolutely have to do. And in those moments, we pray about it. So never assume that you have to do anything in particular, but rather be asking God, is this the direction you want me to go? Is this the thing you want me to do? And priorities are so critical for us as we have such limited time. And I always think we have this moment, you know, we have this day to give to Christ. And I'm so excited always to realize how little time we have in the scope of a big eternity. We have just a very short time here, and it's so important for us to do what God wants us to do, what He created us to do. Well, we talked about prayer being one of the P's, priorities being one of the P's. What's the third P?
Positive attitude. You know, you're in charge of your attitude. And in the world today, more people get fired from their job because of attitude than any other reason. Mm-hmm. And I'll just share with you one of the verses that the Lord gave me that I remind myself of all the time in Proverbs. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. And so often I'll become critical when I'm tired, overtired, my priorities have gotten out of whack. I'll become critical of my family or my husband, or I get into a competitive thing about who's right. You know, I kind of rejoice when he's wrong. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about there, just a positive attitude, a building up kind of attitude instead of a tearing down. And that's contagious. You set the tone for your home. You set the tone of having an encouraging home, a home people love to come home to. My daughter's a senior in college, and she loves to come home. We have fun. We laugh. I never start in on what she should have done or how much she should have called me more or anything like that. She calls me a lot because I'm fun to talk to, and I'm encouraging, and I am that way because I purpose to be that way. You're not always going to feel positive, but you can choose to be positive and really to operate in this state of gratitude instead of a state of lack, instead of focusing on what you don't have, focusing instead on what you do have and on all that God can provide. And really just everyone is attracted to a positive attitude, and I find that lonely people are usually negative people because negativity repels people. So if you're that person who can't seem to develop friendships, or you're the one who doesn't get invited, check your attitude, because negative attitudes repel people. Positive attitudes magnetize people. And the Lord says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And of course, we're told in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think upon such things, which means to me that there are going to be things to think upon that are not right, pure, lovely, admirable. We're always going to have the choice, is my word of the day. You're always going to have the choice to focus on the unlovely or the lovely, and you're going to get more of what you magnify. So if you like a behavior in your child, then praise it. I don't give dishonest praise to my kids. I tell them the truth. I really do. But when I can find something, and there's a lot to praise them about, I have two awesome children, but I try to build up those things in them that I want more of. And I sometimes have to talk to them about some things they need to have less of, but I do it purposefully. I don't just spout it out, you know, and I'm really careful about choosing my words in that instance, but I maintain my positive attitude. John Maxwell is a huge Christian author, as many of you probably know, and he said this about his dad. He said one day he was going to pick up his dad and take him to the airport, and his dad was packing a suitcase and putting in all of these positive attitude books in his suitcase, as well as his Bible. But John said, "Dad, you're the most positive person I know. Why are you still reading all of these books on positive thinking?" He said, "That's how I stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't stay positive if I didn't maintain it." So here's the thing. We're told by the world that we live by our feelings. But we are Christians. We live by the Word of God. And He doesn't challenge us to do anything that we're not able to do. He's given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So when He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, think upon these things. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think upon it." So develop this attitude of positivity and attitude of gratitude by thinking upon whatever is right. I was having a pity party one day, which is always very lonely. You know, you have a pity party and the only one who comes is you, really. And we had decided, and we had planned our first church, and we were a mobile church. So we had tons of tarps and tons of chairs. We had to cart in and out of the YMCA, and we had a big trailer, and we had to get this old dually pickup truck that we really couldn't afford because we had both taken a cut in pay. But we bought it. It was old, though, and we had been through two transmissions already in this pickup truck, just dragging the church trailer to and from the church. And we had gone on vacation, and we had a little boat that we were pulling behind us. And in Birmingham, Alabama, the transmission went bad again. And I was, like, sitting in the truck thinking to myself, not out loud, "Lord, we're doing your will. Is this how you treat faithful people?" You know, I was going through all of this. You know, we've done what you've asked us to do. We're planting this church. We're working for you. And why don't you protect our transmission? Woe is me. And I walked into a Quick Stop, and almost like an audible voice, I looked at, I was paying for my Coke or whatever, and there was a little can on the counter with a little bald-headed child on the can. And he said, "That right there is a problem, Lisa. What you have is an irritation."
Mm.
And immediately, I just thought, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at everything.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, thank you, Lord, that I don't have a kid in the children's hospital.
Right.
Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go around and put these little cans out to raise money for my sick child. Thank you that it's just a transmission, just a car, just a thing. So we're always going to have the choice, and it's up to us to discipline ourselves and discipline our brain to choose the right way to think about things.
So important. And I think a lot of times people get the wrong idea about a positive person. I think a lot of people think, well, they're positive because everything goes well, and that's just simply not the case. They're positive in spite of how everything goes. They are just a positive person. They're choosing to be positive, to praise God in every situation, and to allow Him to give them peace and joy throughout it. So, okay, our last P, and we're running out of time here. Our last P is passion.
Well, I'm passionate about talking, so sometimes I talk too much about
No, you're doing great.
You know, just finding your passion and operating that in that. God gave you a passion, a holy passion, a holy fire for something in on this earth that built Him up and built His kingdom up. And it's usually related to your spiritual gifting in some way. So if you don't know what that is, find out about it. But really just finding that little flame of passion and fanning it into a flame that is just, you know, passion drives action. So if you're making yourself do your ministry, then probably that's not where your passion lies. So find out what's your passion, and then the Lord's going to equip you, and He's also going to provide. You know, we've heard it said, where God guides, He provides. And that's what you're going to start seeing is provision in that area. So you're going to start feeling like, oh, I can hardly wait to do that. Instead of, oh, I've got, you know, X, Y, Z to do, and I'm just busy, overstressed, whatever. If you're operating in passion, there's a certain passion that God gives you. Like, I can hear it in Marnie's voice right now. She's passionate about her ministry. And here's the last thing. You're going to be passionate about that thing, but you might have to mow the grass first. before you live in the big house.
Or take out the trash.
This is just my part. You may have a passion for something and you feel like people are holding you back. Like, I have a friend who loves worship, but she didn't get to lead worship as much as she thought she should. And this was her passion. But she was invited to lead worship at the women's prison, and she wouldn't do it. She kept trying to lead worship at the church, lead worship at the church, lead worship, and she just fixated on that. When she walked through the door that God had given her for her passion, she's not paid to lead worship at the prison, but they needed somebody very badly. It was in her area of passion. She just wasn't looking for God to do it that way. Well, now all kinds of doors are opening up for her because she did the thing. She was faithful in that small thing, which I think is a big thing actually, but she was faithful in that beginning place. And now the Lord is opening all kinds of doors for her. And that's really what I would just share with you. You may have a passion in an area that you're feeling stifled in or like you just can't get it going. Do the thing, walk through the door that's open for you in that area, even if it's mowing the grass before you live in the big house. When I worked in corporate cosmetics, I would constantly have people who weren't showing up on time for their own job want my job. Well, first you have on time for your job before you get my job, right? And that's the same thing. You be faithful in these small things where your passion lies, and God will give you bigger and bigger jobs there, and you'll fan the flame of your passion as you operate in it. So passion will fuel your action, and don't leave anything out. Don't, don't just say, I'm going to skip to the 5,000-member church. No, speak to the senior citizens group that can't get anyone to speak at their luncheon. Start there. If your heart is to speak, then speak to whoever will listen. If it's your passion, then that's where you want to start. Anywhere you can do what God's given you the passion to do, begin there.
Absolutely. The principle is don't despise the small things. And it's so important because when it boils down to it, Lisa, you're at a phone with nobody in front of you. I'm at a phone with nobody in front of me. We're by ourselves in our separate locations speaking to who knows how many. We could be speaking to one person or to hundreds or thousands of people. And you know what? It all boils down to, are you willing to do the thing today, the thing that God is asking you to do? This kind of dovetails into something I wanted to mention. Lisa, when I was getting ready for the show here today, I just typed in lisavoorhees.com, and there is a lisavoorhees.com. It's one page. I love it because you know what you did? With that website, you took what you knew how to do or what you had time to do or what you had resources to do, and you did with it the best you had to do with it that day. LisaVoorhees.com is not going to always just be one page big. Mm-hmm. But today, it's one page big. And you know what you have on there? You have a beautiful smiling you. You have a beautiful welcome note. You have a byline that speaks 1,000 words. It says, blessing, loving, growing women. I just love it. It made me cry when I read it. You have your contact information, and that's it. And it is enough because it's what you were able to do. Just earlier today, I was able to, for the first time since 2001, I was able to put up the archives of the newsletters. And as I was putting up the newsletters from the past, I could see the progression of where I had not started from because those were just Word documents, but when we went to full color, I could see where we started and where we came to, and it is a big leap. And God did that one step at a time, one instruction at a time. If you are listening and you are starting a ministry or wondering about it or thinking it's too big for me or I'm not equipped to do that, just remember that it isn't just you. It's God doing it through you. This is Marnie Swedberg, and our guest today has been Lisa Voorhees. Lisa, I am so grateful that you could join us.
Thank you, Marnie. Thanks for the invitation, and may the Lord bless you and everyone who's listening.
You guys can find out more about her over at womenspeakers.com, Lisa Voorhees, or at lisavoorhees.com. Her last name is spelled V-O-O-R-H-I-E-S, lisavoorhees.com. Thank you so much for being here. I pray that you guys would all have a wonderful day, and we'll meet you again here next week. Bye-bye. Have a great day.